Bhagavad Lila, 10th canto, chapter 64, Deliverance of King Nrigo. Once the princes of the Yadu dynasty, Samba, Pradyumna, Bhanu, Gada, and others, went to a forest near Dwarka to have a picnic. After playing a long time, they became thirsty. While searching for water, the princes came upon a dried up well, and inside they saw a huge, wonderful looking lizard. Feeling sorry for the lizard, which was trapped inside the well, the boys tried to lift it out. In spite of repeated attempts, they were unsuccessful, so they reported everything to Krishna. Krishna immediately went there and extended his left hand in the well and brought out the lizard. Touching the Lord's hand, the lizard gave up his lizard's body and appeared as a beautiful demigod with a golden complexion. Although Krishna knew everything about the past, present, and future of this lizard, now king, he inquired from the lizard, "Who are you, O greatly fortunate one? You must be a demigod. What past activity brought you this lowly condition of taking birth as a lizard? We're eager to hear your story. Please tell us." That demigod bowed to Lord Krishna and said, "I am a king, Nriga, son of Ikshvaku. I'm glorified as being very charitable. O Lord, you are the knower of everything. Nevertheless, on your request I will speak. Formerly I gave charity as many cows as there are grains of sand on the earth, stars in heaven. I honored the brahmanas, gave charity to them. However, once I gave a cow to an elevated Brahman. Later on, that cow wandered and entered the cows of my herd. And I, unaware that that cow was mixing in my herd, the two Brahmins start arguing about who owned the cow. And they accused me of giving for a second time a cow that had already been given in charity. I became bewildered. I begged the Brahmins, "Be merciful, I'm your servant. I innocently, unknowingly gave that cow twice. I give each of you 100,000 cows." So the Brahmins went back and forth. They were both attached to the one cow, even though Nriga offered 100,000 cows. Nevertheless, they cursed him. Then I gave up my body and went to Yamaloka. Yamaloka said, "Would you like to suffer the results of your sins or enjoy the results of your pious acts?" "I was bewildered," so I replied. So after praying to the Lord, and King Nriga asked for the benediction of being able to return to his kingdom, Maharaj Nriga circumambulated Krishna, touched his helmet, and went to the celestial kingdom. Then Krishna preached to the Yadavas that were with him about a brahmana's property. He said, "It's very disastrous to try to enjoy a brahmana's property. Even if one is very powerful by austerity and yajna, what to speak of ordinary men? Poison kills only the person who drinks it, and a fire may be put out with water. But the stealing of a brahmana's property destroys three generations of one's family. Has no antidote. Kshatriyas easily become blinded by their opulence. Even if one is very powerful, he can be destroyed by taking a brahmana's property. Kshatriyas become blinded by their opulence, and they fail to see their downfall. Childishly hankering to enjoy a brahmana's property, they pave the way to hell. A person who steals a brahmana's property lives as a worm in stool for 60,000 years. One who simply desires to take a brahmana's possessions reduces his duration of life. After meeting defeat, he'll be born again as a snake. My dear Yadavas, never treat a brahmana harshly, even if he abuses you or physically attacks you. Just continue to smile and offer him respect, just as I always offer respects to the brahmanas. All of you should do the same, for I will certainly punish anyone who desires, anyone who does not follow my example. Just consider the example of King Nrigo. Having thus instructed the residents of Dwarka, Krishna returned to his palace. Bhagavad Leela, chapter 65, 10th canto. Balaram goes to Vrindavan. Once Balaram was eager to visit his Brijvasi friends, so he mounted his chariot and he left Dwarka to go to visit Nanda Gokul. How come Balaram left Krishna and Dwarka and did not take that great ocean of prema with him to Braj? The Yadus were thinking, the gopis are famous for their pure ecstatic love, and Krishna's parents have intense love for him. Krishna is controlled by love. So if he goes to see the Brijvasis, how will he be able to leave them and come back to Dwarka to be with us? With this in mind, the Dwarka Yadavas prevented Krishna from going, knowing that Krishna becomes subservient to the pastimes in which he reciprocates the ever-increasing love of the Brijvasis. But then neither should Baladev have been able to leave his brother Krishna, who is dearer to Balaram than his own life. Having long suffered the anxiety of separation, the gopas and the gopis embraced Lord Balaram. Balaram offered respects to his parents, and they joyfully greeted him with prayers. Vishwanath has a prayer to begin his commentary. Let us repeatedly Nityananda Srupo Pi Prema Tapto Brajokasam Yayo Krishnam Api Tyaktva Yastam Ramam Muhu Stuma. Let us repeatedly glorify Lord Balaram. Although he is the original form of eternal bliss, Nityananda, Balaram was embraced by the elder gopis, who were the age of his mother. He greeted his parents, and they greeted him with words of blessings according to their parental love. Nanda and Yashoda prayed, everywhere we hear that you, along with your brother, are the lords of the universe, then why do you not protect your elderly parents? And Balaram then paid proper respects to the elder coward men, and the younger ones all greeted him respectfully. He met them all with smiles, handshakes, dealing personally with each one according to age, degree of friendship, and family relationship. After resting, Balaram accepted a comfortable seat, and everyone gathered around him. With voices faltering out of love for Balaram, those cowards who had dedicated everything, Balaram associated intimately with the Brijvasi with smiles, handshakes, and embraces. After eating, Balaram again sat down comfortably, and they asked him about his welfare. Balaram's voice choked with prema for his beloved coward friends, and he asked about their welfare in return. The coward men had completely renounced their daily bodily functions. In other words, beginning from the very day that Krishna left Vrindavan, no longer carried out the natural activities of dressing, eating, and sleeping. Coward men said, no bandhava rama sarve kushalam asate kachit samartana rama yujyam dara sutam vitam. O Ram, are all your relatives doing well? And Ram, do all of you with your wives and children still remember us? The young gopis smiled and asked Balaram. Is Krishna the darling of the city women doing well? The smiling of the gopis was a sign of their unmad, transcendental madness and prema. Otherwise, how would it be possible for such extremely shy girls suffering such intense pain of separation from Krishna to smile in front of Baladeva? From the very day that Krishna left Vrindavan, the Vrijvasis no longer carried out the natural activities of dressing, eating, and sleeping. The gopis were so shy, but yet in front of Balaram they were smiling ecstatically. But this is because of their Mahabhav. Balaram gave them great respect rather than disregarding them. He honored them with his affectionate glance, Rama Sandarshan, because he understood that these gopis were dearly beloved devotees of Krishna and were filled with pure love for his younger brother. The gopis asked, "Is Krishna happy there in Dwarka?" Balaram said, "How could Krishna be happy being separated from you?" The gopis replied, "Krishna is enjoying with many beautiful women in the city, so how could he be suffering any unhappiness or separation from us village girls? Certainly, Krishna must be happy." And gopis asked Balaram, "Does Shyam remember his family members, his mother and father, Yashoda Nanda? Do you think he'll ever come back to Braj even once just to see Mother Yashoda? And does Mighty Arm Krishna remember the service we always did for him?" "Well, Krishna might not remember us, but perhaps he remembers his parental and maternal relatives. We know for a fact that the women of the city cannot be better than us at giving Krishna conjugal pleasures. Krishna must remember our making flower garlands, smearing sandalwood on his body, and making fans, beds, and canopies of flowers and young leaves." With this in mind, the gopis asked, "Does Krishna sometimes remember the services we did for him?" "Smarates asmakam anusevam." "We do not know if Krishna's strong arms are still smeared with kunkum and unguents now that he's no longer devoted to us. We cannot imagine to what extent Krishna is involved in conjugal dealings now that he has separated from us." In other words, the gopis are saying, "We cannot imagine to what extent Krishna is involved in conjugal dealings now that he is separated from us." Balaram replied, "But, most beloved gopis of Krishna, Krishna is full of love for you and always remembers you." Denying this, the gopis replied, "No, we do not have faith in Krishna's love. Since he rejected us who were solely devoted to him, though we have given up everything for Krishna, he gave us up immediately and left." Balaram, "Why don't you do something to prevent him from going away? Or why didn't you go with Krishna?" Gopis, "Krishna just tore our bonds of love to shreds like a blade of grass and left. Therefore, tell us what we should have done." Balaram, "Since you are maintaining your lives without Krishna, you also must have broken your ties of love for him." Gopis, "Not at all. By his words, I will return to you." Repeatedly sent through his messengers, Krishna retied the fetters of love even after they were broken. Again, Krishna took hold of our life fetters as if they were about to leave us and reestablish them. Balaram, "If you believe Krishna will return, then why are you so disturbed?" Gopis, "No, this is not correct. Since even now Krishna has still not come, we have concluded that whatever he said was false." Balaram, "Well, why did you believe Krishna in the first place, what he said?" Gopis, "How could unintelligent, straightforward women like us not believe Krishna's words?" Gopis told Balaram, "Furthermore, we women of the forest are unintelligent. But how can the intelligent city women of Dwarka believe Krishna's words. Another gopi replies, though Krishna speaks lies, it sounds very wonderful, chitrakata, and enjoyable when those words come from Krishna's mouth. Not being able to give up the taste of those talks, the queens continue to listen to Krishna. They are disturbed also by the lust which arises and grows to prominence from Krishna's smiling glance. Gopis, why bother talking about Krishna, dear gopi? Please let us talk of something else. If Krishna passes his time without us, then we shall similarly pass ours without him. Agitated by love in the mood of jealousy, man, other gopis address the gopis who have already spoken, saying, time passes for both Krishna and us, but the difference is that Krishna passes his time happily and we pass our time miserably. We are also, therefore, different from other women. If other women are together with their lovers, they live. If they are separated, they die. But we neither live nor die. This is the fate Providence has written on our foreheads. Alas, what remedy can we find? The gopis were thinking, after piercing our hearts with the 5 arrows of his sweet smiles, sweet talks, enticing glances, graceful gait, and his loving embraces, prema pari shwangam, the Krishna moon disappeared from us. So how will the city women not die when he does the same to them? Overwhelmed with these thoughts, the distressed young gopis started crying, even though they were in front of Balaram. Krishna dispatched Baladev and Uddhav with his intimate messages, Krishna Sandesh, because they were both his trusted friends. Without consideration of their other sentiments of servitude and parental love, Dasya Bhav and Uddhav, and parental love Vatsalya Bhav and Baladev. Krishna sent many messages to the gopis through Balaram. Some messages instructed the gopis in transcendental knowledge. Some messages were sweet and apologetic. Some were dignified. Being heartfelt, Krishna's messages could not be revealed publicly because of their confidential nature. Balaram boldly exclaimed, dear gopis, now that I have consoled you, I will go to Dwarka and bring Krishna here by force. I am not exclusively under Krishna's control, like Uddhav. In this way, Balaram displayed his expertise in conciliation. Balaram stayed in Braj for 2 months, Madhu and Madhav, Chaitran Vaishak Mas, March, April, April, May, which is the new year. Sridhar Swami says that the gopis who enjoyed conjugal affairs with Balaram during his visit to Gokul had not taken part in Krishna's rasa dance, being too young at that time. Sridhar Goswami says that during the pastime of Holi, when Krishna killed Shankarachuda, the gopis Balaram enjoyed with were different from the ones Krishna enjoyed with. Balaram enjoyed in a garden beside the Yamuna, which was bright with the rays of the full moon, fragrant with the scent of blooming white lotuses, and served by refreshing cool breezes. Balaram's conjugal pastimes took place in a small forest alongside the Yamuna known as Sri Ramgat, just far from the site of Krishna's rasa dance at Vamshivat. Sent by the demigod Varuna, his daughter in the form of divine liquor known as Varuni, flowed from a tree hollow and made and scented the entire fragrance with sweet flavor. The presiding goddess of that liquor, Varuni, flowed luxuriantly from a hole in the trunk of a kadamba tree. Varuni said to Balaram, "My father Varuna has sent me to you, O sinless one." This is a honey wine, very sweet honey liquor, honey wine made from kadamba flowers or fruits. Balaram and the gopis drank that Varuni beverage, and they sang, and different celestials played drums and instruments. Balaram was intoxicated with joy. Beads of perspiration decorated Balaram's smiling lotus face like snowflakes. Yamuna did not respect Balaram's words when he summoned her so he could play in her waters. She disregarded Balaram and did not come to him, thinking, "If Balaram calls me wanting to enjoy my waters, then let him come to me." Balaram became angry. "Ah, Kalindi, you did not answer my call. Now I will divide you into 100 streams with the tip of my plow." Thus frightened, Yamuna appeared before Balaram. She came in the form of a river, the wife of the ocean, expansion of Kalindi. Radhas Yamuna said, "With a single portion of yourself, O Balaram, Shesha, you hold up the earth. My Lord, please release me, Son of the Universe." Did not. So she offered various prayers to be released. Balaram released the Yamuna. He played in the waters. All his ornaments were scattered here and there. After playing in the water of the Yamuna, Balaram dressed himself in blue garments and gold necklace, anointed with sandalwood. He looked very beautiful. For Balaram, all the nights passed in a single night as he enjoyed in Braj with all the gopis. Balaram's mind was enchanted by the exquisite charm and beauty of the Braj's young ladies. Each night brought a completely new experience of joy in association with the beautiful damsels of Braj, the Lord Balaram. Nanda Kanda Bhagavan Ki Jai, Nanda Kanda Balaram Ki Jai.